we're going to talk a little bit about apparently man's earliest attempts, and there have been attempts, haven't there? In fact, probably more in the old days, I would imagine, than today, to bring people back to life.
Well, you know, it all goes back. Remember Frankenstein?
Oh, yes, yes.
Wonderful book and the wonderful movie.
Of course.
She was inspired by things that were happening in her time, which was the 1800s. And at that time, the rage was something called galvanism. And galvanism was a discovery by a scientist named Luigi Galvani that you could make a frog's leg twitch if you gave it a little electric shock.
Oh, yes.
And it turned into this sort of quack cure in which everybody thought, well, shocks can make a dead frog's leg twitch, maybe could make people come back to life.
Uh-huh.
So that was sort of the basis of why she wrote the book Frankenstein. And, you know, people back then did believe a lot of strange things. So they had this cure called the blue window glass cure, where you laid under blue glass, and that was somehow supposed to make you better. Or they would use a blue light bulb, but it was called the violet light treatment. And they had electromagnets that would be put around the body, and they would attach it to a lighting socket, and it was supposed to make the iron in the blood respond to the flow of magnetism. So there are all these...
By the way, as far as you know, all of those, and there are modern equivalents of that, blood purifying things...
Doesn't work.
And, well, that was going to be my question. none of it works, huh?
No, none of it worked, but there were some things that people were doing in the history of medicine that were actually working. For instance, you know, in the 15th century, midwives already knew that when newborns were born and weren't breathing, that mouth-to-mouth resuscitation could sometimes work.
Right.
So midwives were already using mouth-to-mouth. And later on in the 1700s, they were doing that also. They were using mouth-to-mouth on people who were drowned. The curious thing is that I think Mary Shelley, who wrote Frankenstein, her husband's ex-wife died, was drowned. And they tried to resuscitate her, and it didn't work. So that was something else that she was very aware of what was happening in her time in medicine. And there were all these attempts to bring people back to from the dead.
Doctor, moving that concept to the modern day,
uh-huh.
Is there really any reason why, even though your body died or something in your body gave up the ghost, mm-hmm. and you died physically, that if we had the science to do it, and I know we're close, that we couldn't keep a brain alive?
The brain is such a delicate part of our body that when other things die, I mean, your kidneys can die and your brain will be fine.
Yeah. Well, that's my point, though.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was some way to feed the brain and keep it in a brain-friendly environment, whatever that is, why not?
Well, yeah, I suppose theoretically it's possible that if you were able to keep the brain, the blood flow going to the brain, even though everything else was dead, you could keep it alive.
All right. There was a Dr. White that I interviewed. And Dr. White cut off the head of one monkey and put it on the body of another monkey, and it worked.
It should work, except for in the long term, you're going to get rejection.
Well, but in the short term...
In the short term, yes.
In the short term, even though the spinal cord was broken and the monkey couldn't move...
It's paralyzed, yeah.
It's paralyzed, but in every other way, the head on the new monkey worked.
All the brain really needs is continued blood flow.
Well, there you are. So,
there you are.
So then why could we not, in modern science, keep the blood flow going, if necessary, by a machine? After all, we can keep it going to a heart, right?
You know, that to me, that is just a nightmare scenario. Where do you come up with this stuff, Art?
Well, it's an obvious extension of some of what we've talked about. I mean,
I'm just imagining huge nursing homes with nothing but brains sitting in big vats.
Exactly.
Right, right. I mean, it's possible, but I don't think we really want to go there.
Well, we may not. Well, some of us might want to.
Some of us might want to. I suppose if you are postulating that sometime in the future you could come up with an artificial body.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, brain tissue, supposing that this could be done, is there anything in brain tissue by itself that would continue to age and finally, no matter how well fed it was, it would get Alzheimer's and be essentially gone, I guess? Or could it conceivably live for hundreds and hundreds of years?
I don't think we know that. You know, you're not going to get, usually what happens with aging is that you get atherosclerotic plaques. But if you were able to bypass that by you know, continually flowing,
exactly,
the blood flow, yeah,
nothing
you
but
have that.
Good blood.
There'd be no strokes. I imagine that if you have the gene, for instance, for Alzheimer's, you're still going to get that.
Right, but if not.
But if not, gee, that is something that we haven't tried. You know, somebody ought to do that with mice brains. That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Well, sure. I wonder if they have. And if they haven't, why haven't they? Because, after all we are, really, is our brains, I think. And it may be that once we know enough about the brain, we could even give it artificial eyes, artificial ears, artificial stimuli of varying sorts.
You could. It'd be awfully expensive. And who would get it? That's always the question.
The rich people.
The rich people. They always get it, don't they?
First. And then eventually Medicare would cover it. I don't know. Is there really any scientific block? Quit laughing in the other room. Is there any scientific block against doing that?
Keeping brain matter alive. I'm not aware of anything other than genetic illness, and no, not really. Not really. It seems to me that you probably could keep a brain going for quite some time.
Well, when I had Dr. White on, a great percentage of the audience was horrified. Absolutely horrified.
I am too. I mean, I don't think I think I would rather just die than be stuck in a bottle somewhere.
Or on another body which you couldn't control.
Right. And then, you know, I think the worst part for most of us is the idea that we would live and people we loved would have passed on. And we would be left alone with nobody we loved still alive.
Just a lonely brain.
Yeah. I think that would be the worst horror of all.